I'd love to have you pray with me if you want to get in. There is a line open. I know that will fill up in a few seconds here at 888-914-9149. And love to bring your petition to air. I tell you this every day, and I'll go through it one more time. If you want to have Maggie voice your intention, you can always put it on Twitter. Go to at Drew Mariani Show. On Drew Mariani Show, and just put it there. Maggie will bring it to air. And please continue to send me your answer prayers. You can send them in to me, drew@relevantradio.com. Just send them the show email, mark it answered prayers. I'll maybe share another one or two of them today. I think they're good to hear. You know, I like to share the intention because we need prayer, but I think it's also good to hear some of these answered prayers. Hey, before we start, just a quick programming note. Do me a favor. I don't know if you have a phone, smartphone on you. Set your smartphone for tonight at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Okay, just a little reminder. Join me. I am going to be praying the rosary tonight with Maggie. As you know, Maggie's now joining Father Rocky every evening as they pray the family rosary across America. Maggie, I'm looking forward to praying with you tonight. It's going to be fun.
Likewise.
We're going to give everybody a double shot of prayer.
I guess so.
Big prayer day today. No, it's going to be great. Look, these are the two prayers. It was at Mass this morning. And then after Mass, there's always a little bit of adoration. But the rosary and the chaplet are two prayers that I rely on. They're incredibly powerful. I've seen healing and liberation and miracles through the rosary. My own father was healed through the rosary of his addiction, and we saw what it has done to the evils in the world, like communism. And we know the power of this chaplet and how it moves the heart of God and how miracles unfold. So I would encourage you to pray both of these. But join me tonight, okay? I hope you'll be there. Get your intention to Maggie, and we'll be glad to get it to air this evening as well. So the chaplet will be live. I'll host it. Maggie will co-host it with me a little bit later. I'll try to remind you about that again. All right? So there are, again, I want to thank everyone who takes time to thank God for the way he works in their life. And I just want to share a quick email or two that came in. Rick, if you're listening, congratulations. Rick was praying, and he turned to the chaplet in a difficult time because he wanted to enter the military. And he said he passed the medical evaluation, and he was very concerned because he had an injury. And he actually got the healing they looked for. So we're grateful for that. Another person writes and says, I want to take a moment to offer hope. At the end of 2018, my wife and I separated after almost 10 years of marriage. 2021, we divorced. Both of us were certain that there was no chance of reconciling or salvaging our marriage. We thought it was dead. You know, I had started the annulment process and began to move on. Only our connection was our young son. But Drew, God had other plans. Somehow, some way, in a manner that defies words, something truly incredible happened. God touched both of our hearts and created circumstances that brought us back together. Our marriage was Lazarus in the tomb, and God brought it back to life. It was a true miracle. Let me stop right now on this particular point, just because that's such an eloquent description of a dead marriage, isn't it? You know, Scripture tells us Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. His body was bloated and rotten, right? That's what a lot of marriages are. Like, true, my marriage is dead. There's no hope. There's no life. It's over, right? Remember a woman who walked into the studio for me, and one of my favorite chaplet stories where, and I shared this with you before, and I'll get back to his email because his is a great one too. Their marriage was over. She was selling the house. She was remained faithful and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. She used the chaplet over and over again to pray for her husband's conversion. He was out. He was with some other woman. He was doing whatever. So they got divorced and decided to sell the asset. And she had put the home up for sale that day. The realtor came. They were going to have an open house. Door knocks, you know, an hour before the open house. She opens it. Who's on the other side of the door? It's her husband. And he says, I don't know why I'm here, but I feel I need to talk to you. They canceled the open house. They cooked dinner together in that home, and their marriage was reconciled from that moment forward. They began the journey to healing. So a dead marriage can be resurrected, as this man pointed out. This guy says, look, we have plenty of work ahead of us, but we're committed to our marriage, and we see God powerfully in our lives. I can say with 100% certainty that God wants us together. If God is for you, he says, let everyone know who can be against you, right? So he says, I just want to thank God for his mercy, of course, for the power of the chaplet. And he says, finally, if you could ask everyone, I'm seeking a new job that will fit our new family life. I'm leaving a good a paying job with great benefits and security, just trusting that God will continue to guide and provide. So to those out there who are listening, who are worn out with sorrow and misery, those who are losing faith, I want to say to you, he says, don't give up. I prayed for years, and never saw anything. But God does hear your prayers, and he has a plan. Trust in God, and above all, pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Let the words, "Jesus, I trust in you," truly soak into your mind and heart and soul. It's not an empty feel-good phrase. Pray hope and don't worry. God bless. Anonymous. Well, thank you. I know who wrote that. I saw the name. I don't know the person personally, but I'm glad you signed it anonymous because I think you represent so many other people. Thank you for that answered prayer. And God can resurrect the most unlikely situation. He can bring the dead back to life. He can bring your marriage back to life. He can bring your body back to life, your finances back to life. So let's pray today for you, okay, for that miracle that I know you are asking God for. Maggie, anything you want to start off with today? And, of course, I got Preston in studio with us today, too.
Yeah, Drew, we had a caller call in from California earlier who couldn't stick around for the chaplet. He was asking for prayers for his son who lost his passport and Social Security card along with some other important documents. So I want to lift that son up, and hopefully those documents are found.
Amen. We'll do that. We'll pray they get returned. And we've had the chaplet. I shared the story of my daughter. I won't share it now, who lost her military ID and had to catch a flight. She'd be in a lot of trouble if she didn't. It was the chaplet that brought it back. We prayed it. Boom. The most unlikely place it was discovered. Preston, good to have you in studio with me.
Thank you.
Anything you want to pray for today?
Yeah, what's really on my heart right now is we're hiring a new senior accountant in our accounting department that will report to me. It's at our HQ here to work in the office. And So I'm praying that great candidates apply and we can find someone that would be really happy to work here.
All right. So here's the deal. I know you're praying for a job out there. You're probably saying, like, I got a financial background. Is it accounting?
Basically, it's an accountant, need an accounting senior degree. Accountant.
Well, it'd be a great job to work at Relevant. Great company, right? Great people, lots of fun.
Yeah.
You know, and mission oriented. How can you not love what you do here? This is a great place to work. What's the best way? How do they connect? I might as well tell people.
Just go to relevantradio.com and /careers and go to the contact us and we'll see it.
Stay away from the show host part of that career field, okay, guys? You don't need to look at that, okay? Accountants only.
All right.
Maggie screaming. Yeah. All right. Well, let's pray. We'll pray for anyone right now looking for work, all right? We will pray for those who are who are struggling
financially,
that
are needing employees. So
it's hard. It's tough.
It's tough.
So thank you for bringing that in. Yeah. Remind me next time you're in here, too. We'll continue to make that aware.
Okay,
great place to do it. All right, Lord, we give you all of our needs as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from Eric in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Eric, thanks for dialing in. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I have a friend who, his name is Art, and he has ALS, and he's in a lot of pain, and he's really suffering, and he's talking about medical end-of-life stuff, and I just want to pray that he, a miracle for his health, and a miracle at least that he changes his mind for this kind of end of his life. Thank you.
Well, God bless you, Eric. I want to pray for your needs too, whatever they are. I know you didn't voice anything, but what a beautiful intercessor you are. And today he's getting a lot of prayer. Right? We're all here. We're all going to pray for him. It's difficult when you are in a lot of pain, when you are suffering, to see light at the end of that tunnel. But there's merit. There is power in suffering. I'm telling you, there's power in it. Lord, I just ask for mercy. For anyone right now who's having suicidal ideations, who see no way out of their situation, be it health, be it finances, whatever it may be, legal, I just ask you, hold back their hand, that you allow them, Lord, to know that they were created for a mission and a purpose and that you are with them. You know, if you're suffering, tell your friend this. I'm always struck by this. You know, St. Faustina wrote in her diary, she said that if the suffering soul knew how much it was loved by God, if they had any clue, they just knew how much they were loved by God, it would die of joy. It would die of excessive happiness because there's a beauty in it. You know, suffering is the greatest treasure on earth, she says. It purifies you, right? It purifies the soul. And someday when we die, when we cross to the other side, we will then know the value of our suffering. It's meritorious. It's in some respects a gift. But Lord, I do pray for healing. I pray you mitigate, alleviate, reduce, and just eradicate the suffering of so many. But for those who you ask to carry the cross, may it be meritorious. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay, our next call comes from Patricia, who is in Garland, Texas. Hi, Patricia. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm well, thanks.
I just want to pray today for my brother-in-law, Tom, who is now in the emergency room undergoing tests to see whether or not he's had a heart attack, suffering chest pain, and that's my prayer for today.
All right.
For him.
Well, let's lift him up right now. We will certainly do that, Patricia. Let's put him in the hands of the Lord. What a perfect prayer to pray at this particular time, especially in time of great need and great criticality. My daughter, she had her near-death, her drowning experience. This is the prayer I turn to. And Lord, we just ask you right now as divine physician to embrace this man and to bring healing to him. I pray for anyone who is in critical care, anyone who is in need right now, who's suffering accident or tragedy. And I give you these really critical situations. And for their family as well, I give you Patricia, that she may have peace. But we give you her brother-in-law. Pray for those with heart problems, coronary issues, those with chest pains in this moment. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Houston, Ed is on standby there. Let me go to Maggie, who has been monitoring all of those Twitter intentions that are coming in. And again, at Drew Mariani Show is the Twitter handle. Feel free to leave us your intentions there. Maggie, what can we pray for?
We've got a couple of really urgent prayers, Drew. Katrina wrote to us. She said, asking for fellow prayer warriors to please pray for our granddaughter, Sabrina, as she has her second PAO hip surgery tomorrow morning. Thank you. God bless. This one just came in from Gigi. Please pray for Kyle Doan. a five-year-old boy who may have drowned in the California storm in Paso Robles. Please pray for his parents and that they find Kyle alive. Maria wrote to us from Nevada. She says, thanks for your ministry. Please pray for complete healing of my daughter's eye infection. She had treatment, but it's come back. Anne wrote to us and said, hi, Drew and Maggie. Could you please pray for my husband, Jerry? He was just in a car accident and is struggling with several injuries. Thank you. And then a number of people have written, they just want to pray for you, Drew, for leading us in this chaplet every day.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It means the world to me. It does. I can't tell you how much I value prayer. I know how efficacious it is, and I'm grateful for it. And believe me, I need it. I do. I could certainly use your prayers on so many different levels. Ed, who is praying with us in Houston, I think is also facing a pretty critical situation. Ed, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi. Just want to, if you guys can pray for my wife, Susan, and for me. We're in a really difficult situation in the hospital. She had open heart surgery last week, and she went to emergency surgery the same week.
Wow.
And since then, it's been going down, worse. 2 days ago, they told me she was the sickest person in the whole hospital. And it's not looking good.
All right. Well, Ed, look, I'm glad you got through. We're here for you. All right. We're going to be with you here in prayer.
Thank you.
And you've got not only the country, but many people around the world praying for your wife. Put your trust in the Lord and count on it. We're going to pray right now. And you know, today is a unique chaplet. It's so strange how. And we'll pray for, write her name down if you could, Maggie. We'll pray for her during the rosary tonight when I lead the rosary at 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern. You know, I just, we're hearing all these intentions of car accidents and tragedy and heart attacks, people on their deathbeds, people who are suicidal. And poor Ed, his wife is in ICU, one of the sickest people in the hospital, and she's diminishing. Lord, I ask from this very moment forward, from the moment these prayers are uttered, that his wife begins to recover, that there is a turnabout in her condition, that your healing grace reach her to the amazement, the astonishment of those physicians, and that this can be another wonderful testimony to the power of faith and prayer of her husband and the power of this beautiful prayer of the chaplain. Lord, I ask for miracles today as I always do. We submit to your holy will, but we turn to you now with trust and pray both in petition and thanksgiving. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Stevens Point, Wisconsin next. Father Todd is praying with us there. So good to have Father online with us. Father, good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew, for taking my call. A couple of intentions. First, a prayer that America will come back to God. And then secondly, my mom just had a cancer diagnosis return. She is having surgery January 31st. And I'm praying for a big cup that on Monday when she goes for her scans that they're all going to be clear and she's not going to need any of this. I'm praying to God for a huge mug right now.
I love it. Good for you, Father. Father, we're going to pray for you, too. Thank you for calling in and ever showing your deep love of prayer. Lord, I give you Father Todd right now and every one of his personal intentions. I ask for special protection over him and all of his brother priests. Satan has special enmity towards these men. He knows their weaknesses. I ask you fortify, protect, deepen their holiness, their wisdom, their gift of fatherhood. I pray, though, in particular for his mother and for the cancer that has once again returned. And I pray against cancer in this moment that you vanquish it. Lord, I pray for great results when she goes back. And we just ask you to hear the prayers of this humble priest of yours. And I unite all who are praying right now, especially for their loved ones who are in the fight with cancer. We ask for your unfathomable mercy. We pray, Eternal Father, We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Margaret praying in Oak Park, Illinois. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Drew. I'm calling in petition and gratitude. First, gratitude for your last guest, because last night my grandson, 29 years old, came to me just in tears and crying and how addicted he is to marijuana and wants so badly to recover and get off and doesn't know where to begin. And gratitude that now I can direct him. I can direct him to that, and that gave me such hope.
Wow. So, well, praise God. And you have that website that we gave out, right?
Yes. Yes,
wonderful.
In my notes. So thank you.
You got it.
I know God is at the center of it now, for sure.
Amen. Well, we'll pray for your grandson. I'm assuming that's the intention for you right now, Margaret. And we'll pray for you as well. And look, I just want you to know personally how powerful your prayers are for your children and for your grandchildren. And I know God hears your heart in a special way. And there's freedom from addiction. I tell people that all the time. I've seen it over and over again from everything from alcohol to heroin. And heroin, that's one of those drugs I never thought I'd ever see the freedom from. You know, that tends to put hooks very deeply into that soul. But let's pray right now. I pray for Margaret and for her grandson and for total liberation right now for anyone who's struggling with addiction. Addiction to alcohol, to drugs, to sex, to any other proclivity, Lord, that you allow these people to find the freedom that they need to be the souls that you created them to be, to fulfill the mission that you intend for them. And fortify their families. Give them peace, consolation, and wisdom. Virginia in Norwalk, California, thanks for joining us. I'll sneak you in as well.
Hi.
Hi, hello? Virginia. Hi, Virginia.
Hi. Hi, Drew. Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you and everyone there. No, my sister has sepsis, and she just got out of ICU a few days ago. And she was brought back to life. Jesus brought her back 3 times.
Praise God.
So I know he has a plan for her. And she has 9 adult children, 18 grandchildren. So just want to pray for a speedy recovery. She had her leg amputated twice.
Oh, my Lord.
It
how
was
horrible.
Infected, yes.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Gone.
Well, let's pray for her. Let's pray for her right now. We will add her to this intention. We had a gentleman call in the other day who was battling sepsis, was in a really bad condition. We prayed the chaplet, right? And called to testify. Total healing. So we'll now add your sister to the list. And Lord, we just pray for those who are diabetic, who may have to have amputations. I want to pray for anyone who has blood disorders, anyone who's dealing with sepsis right now, anyone in the ICU, the NICU, the PICU. I give you Virginia and all of her intentions. Well, add Ann to the mix as well. She's praying in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just want to pray for all of the young people, the athletes who have been collapsing from cardiac arrest that we've been hearing about lately. Yep. And one of them happens to be a senior at my children's school. He passed away last week, and I would like to pray. I didn't know them personally, but I would like to pray for their family.
Yeah, well, that's a great intention. Actually, Maggie and I were talking. We were talking about tomorrow's broadcast, actually, and we're going to address that issue. It is so strange what we are seeing, these young kids having myocarditis or collapsing from heart attacks, having cardiac issues. Maggie, open the mic very quickly. Father Looney's on, right, tomorrow?
One of our priests that we have say the Mass here at Relevant Radio, Father Looney has experienced problems with his heart since receiving
vaccine.
So we were hoping to get him on tomorrow and have perhaps some doctors talk about this?
And it doesn't affect everyone. I mean, there's a lot of people who've gotten the vaccine and they're fine, but we are seeing this in a lot of people. So we'll dive into it in greater detail tomorrow. But right now, let's pray for it. All right. I want to pray for your health, whatever your situation is, whatever malady or ailment you are dealing with. I just want to ask God to touch you and heal you, your finances, your relationships, your memories, your wounds, your children, your loved ones. Lord, I give you all who are united with me in prayer right now. I entrust you their hearts and those intentions that they cry out to you with, and I just immerse them in the ocean of your mercy as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Patron saint of cancer, Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I'll tell you what, if you didn't get through right now, okay, join me tonight. It's I'll be praying in about 3.5 hours. Again, pray the rosary tonight. I'm going to be sitting in for Father Rocky. He's away, and I will lead the family rosary across America. And it would be really, really great to come into your homes, your cars, wherever you are, and be able to pray with you that beautiful prayer. I don't know if we've done that yet together. So pray with me. It was a prayer that I prayed long before I ever prayed the chaplet, and it's one that I love deeply. And we'll have a chance to intercede and call upon the Mother of God tonight, the Mother of Mercy, as we pray the rosary. Also, when I return, you're going to find this, I think, fascinating. At least I do. I want to talk about the Antichrist. Did you hear what Pope Benedict said about the Antichrist? I think it's haunting. You know, he says it is the time of the Antichrist. And I'll give you some revelation from St. Faustina, what she said about the return of Christ. A lot to get to right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. It is... It's always good to pray with you, and it's good to take a look at and talk about some issues that we don't always have an opportunity to dive into. And one of these, to me, it was very striking. Pope Benedict XVI, of course, you know, many people are saying he should be called proclaimed a doctor of the church. He was a prolific writer. He was a brilliant, brilliant theologian. Authored 66 books. I think, how do you find time to write 66 books? I wrote one, and I'll tell you, it takes a lot of time, a lot of research. He wrote innumerable articles and letters, and one of those letters has made its way to the light of day. Its contents were kind of surprising. Rod Dreher over at the American Conservative, he reported that last November, when he was in Slovakia visiting with friends, one of them mentioned that he received a letter from Pope Benedict 2 years after he left office. His name was Vladimir Polko, and he had been a member of the underground Catholic Church during communism. He later served in Slovakia's government. And he wrote a book, I think it was in 2015 he wrote it. It was called The Lions Are Coming, Why Europe and America Are Heading for a New Tyranny. That was the title, right? So a priest in Australia read the book and then said, you know what, I'm going to send this to Pope Emeritus Benedict. Benedict then wrote a letter to Polko thanking him for writing the book. It wasn't a long letter, only 12 lines, but there was a striking sentence in it. Now, Polko didn't want to publicize it while the Pope was still alive, but he has now made it known. The Holy Father has just recently, as we know, been called home. Here were the sentences. This is how the sentences read, and I'll quote it. Quote, Benedict writes, "We see how the power of the Antichrist is expanding, and we can only pray that the Lord will give us strong shepherds who will defend his church in this hour of need from the power of evil." Powerful. That's striking, to say the least. But it's not the only time he spoke of these types of things. His biographer, a guy named Peter Seewald, he quoted him saying this, and I'll share one more quote with you. He says, quote, "The true threat for the church, and thus for the Petrine service, does not come from this sort of episode. It comes instead from the universal dictatorship of apparently humanistic ideologies. Anyone who contradicts this dictatorship is excluded from the basic consensus of society. Modern society intends to formulate an anti-Christian creed. Whoever contests it is punished with social excommunication. Being afraid of the spiritual power of the Antichrist is all too natural. And what is truly needed is that the prayers of the entire diocese and the world church come to rescue and to resist it." Let's talk about what Benedict saw. There's a lot of different theories when it comes, and we use the word Antichrist, right? And I'll expand on this coming up maybe a little bit later. We can talk a little bit about what Faustina wrote, what has been prophesied, etc. But, you know, we are, as Luke 17 says, I think we are living in the days of Noah. Perhaps worse, we might be living in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah if you take a look at where we are today. But there's a fundamental truth. I think it's something that all of us as followers of Christ have got to contemplate and evaluate. And it's this truth that anyone who denies that Jesus is Lord, right? Anyone who denies Christ, you make yourself vulnerable to the spirit of the world. And when you have that void, when you don't have Christ, what's going to fill it? The ideologies of the world will fill that vacuum. And the reality to me, this is my personal observation, is that this generation, our generation, your generation has given up believing or trusting in God who became man, who suffered, who redeemed us. And when you don't believe in Christ, when you don't embrace the Christian ethic, you don't follow the moral commands of our Lord, you make way for a spirit of Antichrist. Because there's no longer an absolute moral order, right? There's no longer moral absolutes. Take a look at the culture in which we live in. Benedict also wrote about what he coined as the dictatorship of relativism, right? Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. That's where we are right now. I've invited Father Vincent Twomey to join me today. He's a Divine Word missionary priest in Ireland and was actually a doctoral student of then Father Joseph Ratzinger at the University of Regensburg. And as a result, he kept in regular contact with him throughout the years. He's now a professor emeritus of moral theology at Maynooth University, and we're grateful for his time. Father, thank you so much for staying with us today. Are you in Ireland right now? Is that where you're joining us from, or are you stateside?
Yes. I was in Rome for the funeral of Pope Benedict, but I came back on Tuesday.
Well, thank you for staying up late in Ireland. with us.
No, it's not too late here, darling. It's only 9:30, okay. 9:45, so it's not too bad in the evening.
Good. Yeah? I'm a night person too, Father. I like it.
Too early. we don't go to bed too early in Ireland.
No, neither do I. I stay up way too late for my own good. Hey, I was struck by the words of Pope Benedict. These very strong words. He seems to have spoken and written them in this letter in a very matter-of-fact way. Let's address this concept of the Antichrist. How did he view it? I mean, most of us, when you hear the word Antichrist, most people default to this apocalyptic view of the Antichrist, like the Book of Revelations coming to life. What is Benedict saying, and how do you see it playing out today in the culture?
Well, first of all, I think your comment there, he says, as a matter of fact, a throwaway line practically in a short sentence to the Czechoslovakian writer, who wrote a book about Europe and America and the state of the world as it is today. Now, the writer himself, the man who received this letter, rather, he was afraid to publish it initially and was hesitant. He was a good Catholic. He was in the underground fighting for truth with people like Václav Havel. And then eventually when liberation came in 1989, he actually emerged then into the government. But he was afraid to publish it. Why? Because we're not used to talking about the Antichrist.
Right.
And when we do so in apocalyptic terms. Yeah.
That's so true.
Now, in preparation for tonight's little, I looked up his one of his 16 volumes of collected writings. By the way, 16 volumes, one which range from 700 words to 1400 words. You know, it's a vast corpus, as you mentioned there. And he wrote an article in 1960 about the Antichrist, about the end of time, and it's quite fascinating. You know, because the simple point he makes is the Antichrist is always. We are always in that situation. Yeah? Mm-hmm. You mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah, but the early church was very much conscious that there is a battle going on, what Paul calls, with the powers and principalities of this world.
Yeah.
Living in the early church was living in a Roman Empire that was considered in the Book of Apocalypse as really, you know, the beast of the end time. The thing is that we have forgotten the notion that we are living in the end time.
Yeah.
That we are living in this battleground, as it were. We've become domesticated, very, very comfortable. We sit back and we presume all is going to be well. The government will look after us. All of these are temptations, as it were, to give up the struggle to be virtuous, to speak the truth with courage and love, and also, of course, to pray that the forces of evil, which are always there, will always be there, but each generation has got to face its own battle with prayer and with honesty and with courage and conviction.
Yeah, you know, in the letter too, one other thing I was struck by was that he says that we need to pray for strong shepherds, right, to defend the church. Your thoughts on the attack on the church today? I know what Ireland is going through. I mean, boy, just recently the church in Ireland has really suffered a lot, as it has here in America, and I think we see it around the world. There's tremendous persecution in Nigeria. The bishop in Nicaragua has just been put on trial. Where are we right now? What is the role of our shepherd? Is that an indirect assessment, that comment that we need to pray for strong shepherds? Is it an indirect assessment of how he sees leadership in the church? Or how do you interpret Pope Benedict's statement?
Well, again, down to the centuries, when the Reformation broke out in England, only one bishop actually stood up against Henry VIII and was beheaded with the minority of others. During the 4th century, during the Arian crisis, only a handful of bishops were actually able to resist the power of the empire, which was trying to take over the church. But these bishops always had the support of the prayers of other people. In every mass, we must pray for the bishops and the clergy because they are at the forefront of the battlefield. They need our support. And in every country, you will have bishops, perhaps only one or two, sometimes many more, who are actually able to stand up for the truth. The fact that that the church has been persecuted throughout the whole world is, for me, a sign of the vitality of the church. Because the vitality of the church is shown precisely in the capacity of individuals, yeah, bishops, priests, laymen, women, even children, to say no to the Antichrist that is everywhere. Yeah. And sometimes, as we know from the New Testament, as St. John says in his letters, yeah, that the Antichrist comes from within us, from within the community.
Yeah.
Heresies are forms of, yeah, it, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the one thing that kind of struck me when I read that article by Rod Dreher today, we mustn't forget, I have overcome the world. Victory is mine. Do not be afraid. And I think, speaking of the end, that Czech writer was really right to be hesitant to publish this letter, because it could be alarmist. It could set people off, as people tend to be. We're very insecure. We live because we all feel the power of wokeism, for example. We feel the power of the technology, mm-hmm, taking over every part of our lives.
Yeah.
We feel the power of evil around us, in deception and corruption, etc. But 356 times I've heard once in the Bible, we have the admonition: be not afraid. I am with, amen, you to the end of time, and the forces of evil will not overcome the church.
Yeah, I love that. Father, hold your thought. I'm going to take a short pause. If you want to join us, I'll tell you, you can dial in. Love to have you share your thoughts, ask your questions, leave us with your comments. The number for you to get in is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're taking a look at a comment that Pope Benedict Emeritus had written in a letter, citing the Antichrist. What is the Antichrist? What's Scripture reveal about him? What about his reign? Are we living in that time? Our conversation will continue right after this.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
So good to be with you today. Thank you for joining me. If you are just getting plugged in, I'm speaking today with Father Vincent Toomey. He is a Divine Word missionary priest in Ireland and studied under Father Ratzinger at the time, the future Pope Benedict. He was a doctoral student there and was a friend of his. Stayed in touch with him for a while. And we're talking about the Antichrist today. And Father, we'll go to the phones, grab a call or two in just a moment. But let me ask you, Benedict, his resignation, I'm sure probably was a major surprise to you. But, there's such a crisis in the church. His resignation and the crisis that he faced, was there any disappointment or any fear that he wouldn't be able to, play a role in that or fulfill the mission that he was supposed to fulfill?
Well, that's a good question, because that is a suggestion that many people are making. I think it's false. First of all, I must admit his resignation, when it came as a surprise. But I was expecting it in a way. It's like death; one knows it's coming. Perhaps it may come. When it comes, then it's devastating. But we meet, his former students met with Benedict, with Ratzinger and Benedict, all every year up to the year he abdicated. And all I can say is that the last time we met him, that was the September before he abdicated, 2012, he had been to Mexico and Cuba, and in a month's time, he was heading off to the Lebanon, which is a war zone. And when he came into the conference center where we were, we all almost got a shock. He looked so fragile, as if he were actually, mm-hmm, about to collapse. I've never seen him look so feeble. His mind is always perfect, of course, yeah. And also around that time, he spoke to this journalist, Peter Sewald. You mentioned him in an interview. Sewald asked him, would he consider resigning? He said, yes, I would. In 2012, I think. I would if my physical or mental condition did not allow it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. He just, after a long, long period, he decided that the task of being Pope, of being, having to travel the world, having to meet people day in, day out, issue statements on everything that was happening in the world, he just was not up to it. And that a younger man, another man, would have to do it, and a clean sweep, a clean broom, you know, would sweep away what's happened. But he, all I can say is, when Ratzinger became Archbishop, then Cardinal Prefect, and then Pope, he seemed to get calmer and calmer and calmer the more he was exposed to the evil in the world. Right. And as Prefect of the of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, all the filth of the world, as he said to me, and as he, you know, it's on his desk. And he himself, at that famous Stations of the Cross in the Colosseum, he spoke about the filth of the church. He was speaking about the terrible things that the clerics were doing.
Right, right.
Also, the evils coming out from the church. But he remained calm, and that's the point of it. And when I last saw him, which was last September, I spent 50 minutes presenting my new book on the liturgy, Dynamics of Liturgy, an interpretation of his own theology. He was as calm and as clear. He was weak, but there was no sense of being frightened, no sense of, of anxiety, because his faith is what carries him through. And is this faith that we have, that carried the early Christians through the persecutions, that carried people like Václav Havel and the other men and women in the Soviet Union, who kept them going because they had this this connection with God, who alone can overcome the evil in the world, and we are one in Christ, and we should not be afraid. As I repeat it, do not be afraid, 256 times in the Bible. And that really, I think, is what Ratzinger, what Benedict would say to us today.
Is that true, really? Is it 365 times it says be not afraid? I've heard that a lot, but it's one for every day.
Yeah, exactly. Well, even if it isn't exactly correct.
I like the thought, though. I love it.
It comes in different variations, of course. Right. You know, but I've actually, once you notice it, when you read the Bible, it jumps out at you, you know, how often it is said, you know.
And that was John Paul II's first words from the Loggia. And he became Pope. He said, "Indeed, not afraid." Let's grab a couple calls, Father. We only have a couple minutes left. Ruth is in, let's see if I get this right, Chocowhitney, North Carolina. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. You're on with Father, so go right ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. My question is, or my comment, statement question is, I have never understood the difference between Antichrist and Satan, and if you could explain that, I would appreciate it.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. So, Father, unpack that.
Yeah, that's very, very simple. Satan, of course, is a person, a fallen angel. The Antichrist is two things, really, consists of two manifestations. Mm-hmm. One is the general manifestations of evil in the world, and the other is the expected final manifestation of evil at the end of time. Yeah.
Will there be a man of perdition, though? Will there be an actual manifestation, an antichrist, that will one day manifest?
You know, opinions are divided on that. I think that all I can say is we don't know precisely, you know, but it looks like as though there will be some figure. Yeah. But, you know, what it's going to be like, what it is, we just don't know. What concerns us is the manifestation of anti-Christian attitudes, of anti values which are contrary to God's commandments, to the gospel, you know. These are and the persecution of the church. These are manifestations of, as it were, the general antichrist in the world, the general, what Paul calls the powers and principalities that we have to struggle with. We shouldn't be too worried about the end of time, because that is in God's hands. And one thing that actually is very, very clear from the New Testament is that no one knows the date or the time. Yeah. So empty speculation, you know. And the second thing is not to worry.
Yeah, amen to that. Be not afraid, right?
Be not afraid, exactly.
I love it. Hey, Father, thank you. A lot of other calls, but I only have a moment or two left here, and I've got to leave it right there. Would you give us your blessing before you leave? Would you mind doing that?
Indeed. To the Session of Mary, the Mother of God,
to the intercession of all of the Archangel Michael, all the angels and saints of heaven, may you and your hearers be blessed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Father. God bless
and
you.
Keep up the prayers that's for the church, especially for the Pope and the bishops and the priests and the deacons, okay?
We need to do that, no doubt about it. God bless you.
God bless you, too, and your ministry. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's Father Vincent Toomey. You check him out. Pray for him, too. Offer a prayer for him. You know, he said something very striking. Our Lady, in an apparition that occurred in 1973 in a place called Akita, Japan, she said exactly that. Pray for your priests, your bishops, and your cardinals. All right? Our church needs our prayers. No doubt about it. They need our prayers deeply. There is a lot of questions about the Antichrist, you know. Many are those who believe that they've pegged somebody particular, right? They know who it is. There was this guy named Lord Maitreya that for a long time people thought that might have been it. He'll come from a specific area. What do we know? Scripture tells us to be careful when somebody says Christ is here or there, right? So I think it's Matthew 24 that says, so if they say to you, behold, he's in the wilderness, do not go out, or behold, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe them. Perhaps the same is true of the Antichrist. Beware, right? When the next Antichrist comes, it will be in a way I think that few will anticipate. He's too clever to announce himself, and you got to be careful. Try and figure him out. You know, as Father just said very eloquently, be not afraid. I think the term an anti-Christ is used in 1 John 2:18 because the Bible uses anti-Christ, you know, Christs with an S in the plural. I think we face many antichrists today, and the ideologies that we battle, the attacks against the church, we're battling a spirit of the antichrist today. I think every generation has. We could talk more about it. I have to take a short pause, though. Stay with me.